From producing videos with police, intense training in the gym, feeding families with taco nights, and a lot of other creative ideas in between, nearly 20 Lucas County nonprofit groups received grants ranging from $5,200 to just under $30,000 in one case, and the goal is community engagement to reduce racial and ethnic disparities. It's part of Strategy 6 in the Lucas County Safety and Justice Challenge, where $300,000 were spread between community groups that applied for and were granted a piece of the MacArthur pie. In this episode, we're going to look at what some of those groups are doing, how this money was spent, and if you find yourself questioning, admittedly like I did, is this how they're really supposed to spend this money? Stick around, because at the end, I have a representative from the MacArthur Foundation with an answer that might surprise you. Welcome back to the Rethinking Jails and Justice podcast, produced by WGTE Public Media and made possible by support from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation as part of the Safety and Justice Challenge, which seeks to reduce over-incarceration by changing the way America thinks about and uses jails. I'm your host, Jason Hibbs. And I appreciate you for listening to the Rethinking Jails and Justice podcast, especially if you've listened to every episode thus far. Maybe you live in Toledo, Lucas County, or the greater region. Maybe you're another MacArthur community curious about how the money was spent here, or you're just interested in this very important topic of criminal justice reform. There are a lot of podcasts out there, and we thank you for listening to this one. And in fact, another podcast was just added to the scene, thanks in part to the MacArthur Community Engagement Initiative.
Welcome to The Tomb, the urban narrative experience, where we bridge the gap between community and grassroots organizations that promote peace, environmental, social, and economic justice.
That is the official podcast of the Junction Coalition. Their CEO is Alicia Smith.
The Junction was developed as part of our business district. That's why it's called The Junction. And a coalition is a group of people from all over coming together. It's not just about Junction. It's about a better quality of life. It's part of our mission. And our vision is to actually see people hold it, do it, be it. The change.
Smith says she's a former educator with a passion for empowering people to do the hard work. And sometimes that's simply facing and sharing their own story, which can help inspire others.
The one thing that I continue to stand on as an educator, kindergarten teacher to principal to a professor at the university, the one thing that I continue to stand on is you can't tell people what they haven't touched, seen, or experienced. And you can't do for folks if you've never heard their voice. So with that being said, the MacArthur grant was able to provide us an opportunity to create something what we call the TUNE, the urban narrative expression. No one can tell you your narrative. We need to shut up and listen so that people can actually tell you, how did I get this way? What was my first experience as a kindergartner being suspended and then being found isolated and stigmatized? Those are the things that we want to hear. For the parents who were pushed out, they didn't drop out. They were pushed out of schools. They were pushed into the juvenile system, into the court systems, into the criminal justice systems. And many times those stories are never told because those individuals are so harmed and traumatized, they don't feel like they have a voice. Well, Junction took that money and gave them a voice via the podcast, The Tomb.
With more than 20 episodes already produced, Smith says the series not only gives community guests a voice, but helps empowered listeners by telling them, for example, how to get records expunged for the ability to legally drive, what drivers should expect when they're stopped by a cop, and how to start a career in the labor unions.
That's what creating something should do. It should create opportunities. Because everybody wants to talk about problems. We want to talk about opportunity.
Now, there is so much more that the Junction does. They have four pillars: economic justice, environmental justice, social justice, and peace education. And in fact, all of the organizations that we are going to talk about today do so many more things that we just don't have time to talk about. Remember, the purpose of today's episode is an overview of how the MacArthur community funds were spent. At the Junction, there was an emphasis on communication. And this next group is also creating content. Hoping to create a training tool for law enforcement and to help with officer recruitment and retention, Anita Mason, the president of the Toledo Lucas County African American Police League, says her group has invested in video production equipment as they work on an oral history project involving interviews with four generations of Black police officers. The purpose, to highlight their experiences and perspectives. And she believes that highlighting Black voices within the law enforcement community will help increase understanding and help officers of color feel seen and hopefully stay on the force.
Open Arms is a nonprofit that was established because of the increased numbers of homelessness, specifically for ages 16 to 20.
You may remember Fonda Royster, the formerly homeless youth turned juvenile court domestic violence specialist and founder of Open Arms Transformational Living, what she describes as the homeless helping homeless kids, as she has a home now, but her nonprofit doesn't.
I started off in the park feeding the homeless out of my pocket. I still have four kids.
She says her community engagement grant dollars were spent on basic necessities for kids in dire need.
It's not just the homeless kids, it's marginalized youth. Let me break down that down a little further. We've had kids in the school where they come in with literally lingerie, and it's like, did your mama see you with that on? And they're like, Miss Fonda, my mama picked it out. Baby, you ain't about to wear that today. So that's a scenario that we deal with. Also, we have kids that are experiencing intermittent homelessness where they're borrowing different people's clothes where they never had, well, they haven't had their own in a while. And you can tell because if they're a size 2 and they're wearing clothes that can fit me, no, baby. Or, and again, it's that food piece, right? Because if you hungry, I don't ask parent permission or a caregiver's permission or a teacher's permission to feed a child. You call me or relative call, listen, I get a lot of calls from family members. Hey, my little sister, she's in this situation and she's hungry. I meet that child where they're at.
She means that literally and says she often drives out to meet kids and young adults wherever they are, and that many of them are in vulnerable places because they're hungry, homeless, and often exploited.
We'll stock you up with enough food to help you get straight. We help to make sure the kids are in a safe space because we don't have housing for our kids that's under 18. They can go to safety net. Unfortunately for our kids that's over 18, even if they're still in school, they can't go to safety net. They have to go to the adult shelters.
Another group is using food to bring people into evening programming to help improve their lives. The Believe Center promotes, supervises, and funds youth sports, education, and activities, and collaborates with agencies to provide comprehensive services to youth and families, help young people develop their talents, and encourage them to become future community leaders. The Believe Center's Dr. Vincent Riccardi says the MacArthur grant money helped pay for Midnight Run events, which is an evening program where youth and young adults play basketball and engage in other productive team-building activities to keep them off the streets. He says the grant also paid for special themed taco nights, which brought in large crowds. This next group was founded in 1919 and inspired by the dire need for social and recreational opportunities for African American youth of Toledo. The Frederick Douglass Community Association is one of the oldest Black organizations around. A spokesperson says they offer youth recreational activities and summer programming, distribute food in an after-school and summer program, and organize various community events. They say the MacArthur grant money was used specifically for Bridges Out of Poverty programming, weekly classes aimed at helping people better engage in civic life and improve their quality of life by understanding the so-called mental models of poverty, wealth, the impacts of individual behavior, community conditions, exploitation, and politics. They say many of the participants are homeless and shelter residents who are trying to make a better life. And many do, in some cases, by gaining employment, housing, and reuniting with their kids. These successes are celebrated at a graduation ceremony and a banquet when the program concludes. You may also remember Tremaine Rayford.
Yeah, so I grew up in the Toledo, Ohio area. I played sports. I was a musician. Lived with my mom and my two other brothers. My father was not around. I recall seeing my dad probably three or four times before the age of 18 or 17, I should say. And when I saw him, I was waking up out of a coma. I had been in a coma for 2.5 weeks, and it was because I was on drugs and I fell off a balcony at a party. And thank God I got out of the coma, but he was like the third or fourth face that I saw. And I knew who he was, but I barely recognized him. Was like, I think that's my dad.
Rayford says he woke up from that coma in more ways than one and convinced his stepdad to teach him the things that fathers should. Rayford went on to marry and felt compelled to help kids who had complicated relationships or no relationship with their father.
I just recall all the other things that I needed when I was in my youth. I started working with our church and the boys in our church, and I recall like what I needed when I was a young man. And working with these young boys, I discovered that all of them didn't have fathers in their lives. It's probably the number one societal ill that we face in our community. So I decided to do something. You know, I decided to start an organization geared towards fatherless young men, teaching them valuable yet practical life and social skills to deal effectively with the demands of everyday life.
It's called the Program Inc., and its mission is to, quote, provide an opportunity for boys to develop their social and life skills, leading them to deal effectively with the demands of everyday life.
So through the MacArthur Grant and some other grants as well, with the Dodgeball and Economics event, all of our kids got brand new shirts. And you have to put yourself in the position of some of these kids, right? When they go to some of these events, they don't want to be there. You know, mom is like, you're going, right? They're like, man, I want to stay at home and play video games. It's Saturday morning. I don't even want to be up. Like, so they get, I think we had, I forget what kind of food we had. We had great food. We had brand new t-shirts that everybody got. We gave out, what did we give out? Everybody got their own little water bottle, programming water bottle. They got wristbands. We just lavish our kids in gifts every time they come. And I think that's why they keep coming. It's like, well, I need a new water bottle, Mr. Rayford. But we just lavish them in gifts. And the way that we love on them is just, it's crazy. But we also gave away a $500, we gave away a PS5, raffled off PS5, gift cards, and we gave away $500. It was a $500 check. Someone else named Dustin Dale from Beyond the Horizon Consulting, he came in and said, I'm going to match your $500 gift, and we are going to, the stipulation is they have to open up a CD. So they can get $500 right now to spend. We talked to them about investing. We talked to them about saving. We talked to them about budgeting. Everything about money we talked to them about. Now you have $500 to work with. And then his $500 is you have to open up a CD and watch your money grow. So that was one of the events. The other event was the tie event. The tie event was sponsored by the MacArthur Grant. They got a brand new tie.
Rayford says the tie event brought in about 75 kids, while the dodgeball and economics event brought in 85. He says behind all the fun and freebies are lessons in life and teamwork in real time that could be life-changing.
You can't get through life without overcoming fear, resolving conflict, being patient at times. Those are the true life skills that aren't widely discussed. And those are the skills that the underlying skills that we talk about through our events. So they're kind of masquerading. We don't say, you're going to learn patience today, because kids are like, I'm staying at home. You know what I'm saying? But we masquerade it in our fun events. So, yeah.
This next group used their grant money to race to success, with two C's. RACE is an acronym here. Relationships, accountability, consistency, communications, and effort. And this message is geared toward kids. Aura Eaton with JRM Mentoring says the MacArthur Grant dollars helped pay for what is an alternative to school suspension for mostly 4th through 8th graders who are referred by their teachers at a handful, but it's important to note not all, but a handful of Toledo public schools. In this program, they emphasize social and emotional learning, respect and accountability, and set specific personal goals for each student. If those goals are met, they are rewarded. And Eaton pointed out this is safer than suspension, which is being sent home, because most of these kids don't have anyone to watch them during the day. Avis Files is the director of Family and Supportive Services for Pathway Incorporated, a home relief fund emergency services program which has a mission to reduce poverty by creating pathways to self-sufficiency and inspire hope.
So with the MacArthur grant money, we received the portion of the grant that works with returning fathers. So fathers that are coming home and returning citizens who are dads, who have children 17 years of age or less. And so what we're serving them with is our Inside Out curricula, which is parenting curricula for dads, kind of learning how from when they were incarcerated, how do you make the transition coming home to introduce your some of them introducing themselves to their children again. And that's what we do. And we mainly do it at the Volunteers of America, but we do also target certain zip codes.
Files says the MacArthur funding allowed her to reach an additional 40 men by offering the program for free while they were living in the halfway house.
We go in to the VOA. To do this, we go into the VOA. Yes, we are in the facility doing this. So they're not coming out. We're actually going in. The idea is to go in while they're still at the halfway house before they come out to try to get as many communities. So they're getting case management. So they're not only getting the services, but they're getting case management. We're asking them off the top, hey, what's going on with you? You need a job, but you know, from the onset, what do you need? What's going on? And we shape the program like that, because if you put it in a box and you cookie cutter and go, well, this is what we're going to do for you, check, 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 then you're not seeing the individual. So some people want to get their GED. Some people want to go to work right away. Some people are like, you know, I really don't know what I want to do because, you know, I've been in and out, or this is my first time and I don't know what to do. How does this work, right? Well, first of all, we want to teach you that, yeah, be a good dad. So how do we get you to understand all of these things? Like who you are as a man. Do you know who we are? Because we want to tell you once again, this is who you are. What's your values, right? What do you value?
While she's thankful for the grant money, she admits she's frustrated. She wishes she had the funding to track success rates. She'd like to see more collaboration across the community and more investment in the community organizations doing the work on the ground. She wants elected leaders and businesses that hire formerly incarcerated people to do more.
We just got to do better. That's just my cry. We just got to do better. We need more money. We need more energy. We need more time. We need more resources to be able to do the work. And somebody's got to study it.
Alan Richardson with the All In Boxing Academy says his program expanded beyond boxing to support nearby families by addressing children's needs first and then the broader community. He says they invested in organized community sports activities, Kwanzaa events, and community service. He said they organized winter programming focusing on fitness, nutrition, and education, and ran flag football and basketball leagues for 200 K through 6th grade kids, which emphasized character development. He says they also held events at Scott High School, provided meals, and organized Wednesday classes for open gym nights, which features mentoring and tutoring for area kids. He says they also collaborated with the Behavioral Health Agency for art projects and social-emotional learning. Next, trying to, quote, revolutionize the culture and infuse it with health and wellness, end quote, this community organization spent their grant money in a way that caught the attention of the local news.
13 Action News reporter Alexis Means is live with the story all new at 6. Alexis.
Diane, this is an organization that's focused on health and wellness in disadvantaged communities, and they're also reaching out to help former inmates. Growing up in central Toledo, the owner of Go Time Grind Fitness, DeAndre Gaston, says he did not live in a thriving community.
I didn't see gyms if it wasn't a rinky-dink boxing gym. You know, I didn't see even business owners in my community if they weren't, working on the black market.
He says without the tools to create a good life, he turned to a life of crime.
And that landed me right in the penitentiary.
Determined to make a difference after his release, DeAndre Gaston opened the Go Time Grind Fitness Center in what he described to me as, quote, in the center of a struggling community, end quote, to bring fitness, health, and wellness there. The grant helped him launch the Hood to Health program, which helps formerly incarcerated people train and earn the certification to become a certified fitness trainer while providing the space to bring their clients, time, and the business training to start their own careers in fitness. To take a specific look at how much money was awarded to each nonprofit and when, visit our website, www.wgte.org/RJJ. So why these nonprofits? Holly Matthews, director of the Criminal Justice Coordinating Council and a member of the original grant writing team for Lucas County, says any community group could apply for the community engagement grants. These grants were intended for neighborhood-based programs. The organizations that received funding met the requirements outlined in a community engagement plan aimed at reducing racial and ethnic disparities. Netta Abbasi is a program officer on the criminal justice team at the MacArthur Foundation and says it isn't against the rules for a community nonprofit to buy a camera or podcasting equipment to further their mission. But she hopes Lucas County commissioners collaborate with the organizations on the ground.
We try not to be too directive with the sites. I mean, we want them. Our parameters are you're trying to reduce the populations and the racial and ethnic disparities in the jail. And of course, there's like going to be more around that, that grant funds are not meant to be used for lobbying or campaigning and things like that. But we have, just aside from sites, like a whole lot of grantees that are researchers, technical assistance providers, different strategic allies in this work that are doing really different things. And so we try to acknowledge that the grant recipient is going to be the person who knows like what they need the funding for. Grant money can have different purposes. I think sometimes you want an organization to work on a specific project that furthers like what the grant giver is trying to accomplish. Other times, you are acknowledging that what they're doing is so important. And it's like, just keep doing what you're doing. Here's some support. So depending on what the intention was behind Lucas County creating those micro grants, whether they were, I was under the impression that it was like an opportunity to do kind of both of those. Like, yes, we're going to give you an acknowledgement that you're doing this really hard work and we want to support it. But also, if there's a way to bring representatives from all your organizations together to help inform us in a meaningful way, that would be helpful as well. I hope that that happens. I think it's still an ongoing process from what I understand.
And you may have picked up on some redundancy here in the programming. The truth is, many of these organizations have the same goal, and in some ways, they're pursuing that goal in different ways, but it's really all about building community, and the stakes are high. Juvenile judges Linda Knepp and Robert Jones told me these community organizations are crucial.
One of the other challenges in working with youth is most of them don't drive. So it's hard to say, oh, you know, there's this great program in Oregon, so just make sure you're there. A youth, you know, in White House isn't going to be able to get themselves to Oregon, or vice versa. So you really have to look at what's available within their little pocket of the community.
When someone appears in front of on adult court, they can say you need to go 2-hour diversion. Adults have the ability to get themselves back and forth, make arrangements for that. Juveniles typically do not.
Ideally, we would have every little neighborhood have a spot that we could use to help the youth, you know, have positive social engagement. Kids want a sense of, you know, feeling loved, cared for. And the more people that can show that, the better that youth is going to be. So they don't feel so alone.
Thank you for listening. The Rethinking Jails and Justice podcast is produced by WGTE Public Media and made possible by support from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation as part of the Safety and Justice Challenge, which seeks to reduce over-incarceration by changing the way America thinks about and uses jails. I'm your host, Jason Hibbs. On the next episode of the Rethinking Jails and Justice podcast.
When they go away, are we thinking about their return home? Because we should.
Slowing the revolving door of prison.
How do I help this dad re-enter into his family and keep him from recidivism when he's going right back into the neighborhood? He's going into the neighborhood with these people that are mad. His homeboys are saying, we're glad you're here. You want to smoke some weed, get drunk. We're going to give you a package.
The local and statewide efforts to reduce recidivism.